the staff was, we won't do anything.
Oh, there's too much other.
We're going to open the Senate Committee on Education. Today is February 10th, and thank you all for being here. We have three work sessions we're going to do at the beginning, and then we have a couple hearings that we're going to do. We've had a lot of discussions on these bills before. We've got a few amendments, so we're going to start by opening a work session on Senate Bill 1537. We'll have a short explanation by our administrator and explanation of that. We have a couple of amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 1537 is the postgraduate scholars bill. The committee has been asked to consider the Dash 11 amendments, which are available on OLIS. The measures amended by the Dash 11s establish criteria by which a school district may establish a postgraduate scholar program and receive and expend certain state school monies for the students in those programs. They require that courses be approved by a school district that may, for students in those programs that may lead to a certificate or diploma. They make students ineligible to participate in those programs given certain circumstances under federal aid and tuition. They make certain prohibitions around transportation. They specify reporting requirements for the Department of Education and clarify that the amendments clarify that a school district may receive or expend these monies for these programs only under the parameters of the programs in the bill. So the postgraduate scholar definition is broad enough to encompass many traditional fifth-year students, but only fifth-year programs that are established under this bill would be recognized for state school funding. Declares an emergency effective on passage.
So with that,
and the committee, the legislative fiscal office has asked that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. It does not have a subsequent bill, but we've been asked to add one on.
Okay. So with that, Senator Cano.
Chair Oblin, I move to adopt the Dash 11 amendments dated February 10, 2016.
Senator Cano moves to adopt the Dash 11 amendments dated February 10, 2016. Is there any discussion? This actually clarifies a little bit more clearly how to gather the information and then to get reports back from TEC and from ODE about the number and whatever and how this goes so that we can make rational decisions on how to fund it in the future if we're going to continue the program. Yes.
Are these the ones that you authored?
Yes, they are.
Okay. For the record.
Okay. And for the record, just I wanted to thank Senator Roblin for helping us come up with some language that meets everyone's needs and ensures continuity for these kids that need this chance.
I like this program.
Okay. With that, any other discussion with regard to 11? Seeing none, is there any opposition to the Dash 11s? As you can tell, it's been worked on for a while. 11 amendments is pretty high for a short session. With that, it is passed. Senator Canope.
Chair Oblin, I move Senate Bill 1537 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Canope moves Senate Bill 1537 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion? Any opposition? Seeing none, it passes and we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1537. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1541. This is a bill we heard, our administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman of the committees. This bill directs the Department of Education to conduct an evaluation related to expenditure variations among school districts. The committee has been asked to consider the Dash 1 amendments, which target expenditure variation. It specifies the contents of the evaluation and requires ODE to report back to interim legislative committees no later than December 15, 2016. The measure contains a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, but the fiscal impact statement is a minimal fiscal, so Ways and Means say they don't need this bill, so we should not send it to them.
So I'll ask, do you want to, or we might have somebody else do it?
Oh, I can make the motion. I might vote against my own motion.
Whichever you want. Would you like to make this motion?
Sure. Sure. Mr. Chair, Mr. Roblin, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated February 4th, 2016.
So Senator Gelser moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated February 4th, 2016. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, we heard this amendment yesterday, so that's where that one is. Is there any opposition to the amendment? The amendment passes. Senator Gelser.
Chair Roblin, I move 1541 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Senator Gelser moves the adopted act. Sorry about that. Senator Gelser moves House Senate Bill 4056. No. Yeah, that's right. 1541 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Is there any discussion? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one, as I was thinking about this, I think it's a worthwhile study to do. I think it would be nice to have a little independence if they're able to do that, and this would be a really good project for the department to maybe do in tandem or to contract to one of our universities who specialize in educational research and let them take a look at it. Not particular about which one, but we've got a couple that do that very well, and I think that would be helpful.
As long as they don't have any money. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm reluctantly voting yes for this for one reason. I don't know exactly what we're going to get out of this that we don't already have. Maybe we will. I don't know. But I will be voting for it simply because it's not costing any money. And so hopefully we do get something out of this. I still believe that the differences in the school districts that we're always has something to do with the school districts and who's running them and stuff like the school boards and stuff like
things
that.
Like local control.
Yeah, like local control. So I will be voting yes for this, but I don't know what we're going to get out of it.
Is that an expectation that you get what you pay for?
Yeah, there you go.
It looks like this train's down the track. So, but what was stated yesterday, and I want to be very clear and very on the record, that this is going to require nothing additional from schools or school districts whatsoever. This will be work done inside the department with data they already have. And if we find that it's different than that, that they're putting additional requirements on schools, we will have an issue with it.
Yes, we will. Very much so. Senator Gelser.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Echoing many of the comments that others have made, I also want to make it very clear that we are not issuing an invitation to the Oregon Department of Education to tell school districts what to do, that this is an opportunity to learn about differences in expenditures, and my hope is that we look at more than just the money, but also at the outcomes. I do have a great deal of respect for our locally elected school boards. As a former school board member, I know that all of my colleagues work to make every dollar go as far as it possibly could. So I look forward to what we can learn from this with that caution that this is not intended to suggest that there is something wrong with our school districts.
And it would be my hope and intention that if we get that information and it lets school districts compare and then they could go ask and talk to each other, because I think sometimes best practices don't get scheduled and shared as well as they should be, and this might be able to help do that. But I agree with all the comments that have been made. So with that being said, sorry about that, Senator Cano.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've contemplated a lot about this bill. You know, it's a bill that we've been told really isn't needed because the information already exists, and pretty much all we have to do is ask for it and get it. I think the school boards made a pretty good argument that we've been down this road before. I've been on the education committee multiple times in multiple sessions and have seen these types of spending reviews or whatever come through, and ultimately nothing comes of it. And so it feels like singling them out a little bit when they already have regular audits. So from that perspective, I would just prefer that we just ask for the material and that we don't need a bill. So I'm going to be a no on this at this point.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Any other discussion? We might as well do a roll call. We haven't let you do that. So we'll have a roll call vote.
Senator Birch.
Yes.
Senator Beyer.
Yes.
Senator Gelser.
Yes.
Senator Haas.
Excused.
Excused. Thank
Senator
you.
Cruz.
Yeah. Yes.
Vice Chair Cano.
No.
Chair Roblin.
Yes. Bill passes, and we'll make Senator Haas the carrier.
Good idea.
We could wrestle for it.
So with that, we'll close our public hearing on our work session on Senate Bill 1541. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1566.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 1566 deals with open enrollment. The committee has been asked to consider the -6 amendments, which extend the sunset on open enrollment provisions for 2 years through 2019.
And I do have one person that wants to testify for this because they had their hand up. We're moving forward when we closed the hearing the last time. Don't think that's a really good form from my perspective. So will Lori Wimmer come on up from OEA to make a comment? She did send in written ones, and I appreciate her doing that, but I just felt remiss that I did not see her. So she's invited testimony to the website.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, for your record, Lori Wimmer representing OEA and its 5,000 members. Here just to highlight the research that we were able to do using an academic search engine that took a look at the 25 years of experience that other states with open enrollment have had and the unintended consequences that they've experienced, which are very difficult to find and drill down to because of student privacy issues, the heavy lift it takes to ask parents why they are moving their students when it's a parental decision. We often hear that this is simply a matter, open enrollment is simply a matter of student choice, but the other side of that coin is student equity. And we like to view policy in Oregon through the equity lens. And so I would underscore for you that there are perhaps unintended consequences to open enrollment that result in three different kinds of segregation, resegregation of our schools. The first is what we all have heard of as white flight, which is the racial ethnic resegregation of students when families choose not to have their kids in a diverse school. The second type is what we think of as skimming, where students are taken out of schools that the parents perceive are not as likely to result in a college career track for their tag students or what have you. And then the third, much more pervasive, and sometimes in combination with one or both of the other two, is economic resegregation, which is when parents decide that they don't want their students in with the kids from the other side of the tracks. These are all very difficult data to collect, as I mentioned, for data privacy reasons for students who aren't tagged individually according to their socioeconomic status especially, but also because it's difficult to talk to parents and find out what their reasons might be and what has happened. So what researchers have found is that over the 25 years that most states have been doing this, there is this sort of invisible layer of this side effect. So the intent might be one thing, but the ramifications are another. So our members have been very concerned about the open enrollment law with the fear that that would be happening in Oregon, too. We don't have the data to be able to demonstrate that, and it is sort of one of those silent things that is hard to detect. But we believe that another consequence is that when districts aren't collaborating with and talking to each other, we lose something in that mix as well. So we are very supportive of any solution that we can have to fix the mess of open enrollment over the top of interdistrict transfer over the top of all the other pieces and parts of how students move among schools and districts so that we have an orderly process, perhaps an appeal process in the event that a student is denied a transfer for a select set of criteria, whatever it might be that we could work through to, in a longer session, have a greater, more thoughtful way of crafting this system so that we can have we can do what's right for students whether they are moving or staying in their resident school, because we should never advantage the few at the expense of the many. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much, Lori. And sorry about the other day for not seeing. Okay. So, Senator Canope.
Chair Roble and I move to adopt the -6 amendments dated February 8, 2016.
Senator Knopf moves to adopt the -6 amendments dated February 8, 2016. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any opposition? Seeing none, so passed. Senator Knopf.
Chair Roblin, I move Senate Bill 1566 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Knope moves Senate Bill 1566 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Good, you caught my hand. Senator Bearsugar.
Yes, thank you, Chair Roblin. I just have a gut feeling that we're going to see something like this next session again.
Rest assured.
Rest assured that we set it up for that to happen. So, yeah. We will.
And that maybe over the interim we can, when we have our legislative days or stuff like that, then maybe we can get some information to help us.
You have a commitment from me to convene some conversations with the different groups so that we can come up with something that makes sense with respect to inter-district transfer. Senator Gelser actually clarified that a lot a few years ago, but we couldn't get to the final part. And my hope is that we can get to that place where there is a policy that's open to everybody, where kids and families can make decisions, and there's an orderly way for that to happen, and allows receiving districts to do what they do now in open enrollment, which is say, look, we've only got so many spaces in these grades, so these are the ones that are open, and at the same time give options to parents to have more options to get kids where they believe they're right. And I'm one of those people who believes that parents in general do care about their kids and work really hard to make good decisions for their children. School districts and the rest of us have to make decisions that we can based on everybody. We understand that. Sometimes those come in conflict, and we need to figure out a way to make that work. It's interesting to see, we had to stop at one time. We had open enrollment. We had people doing advertising to do it. So that kind of had to get rid of that. We've done a lot of these things. I think right now we're poised to maybe get a solution that can work for everybody. So I anticipate we will have it back. Yes.
Okay.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you very much. I would comment that at least in Central Lane County, where I've watched it most closely, I was kind of surprised. You would have thought there would be a lot of battle between the schools. There's not. The superintendents are all working very well together. The movement, surprisingly, has been fairly well going different ways. It hasn't been, moving from the Eugene School District to one, and everybody going to Eugene. That was a fear. Hadn't happened. People have made a lot of different choices, parents, for whatever reasons they choose to, but it's been fairly balanced movement.
But same token, in the Eugene School District, all the football players end up at Sheldon. I can't forget that.
That's not open enrollment.
It all depends on the year, Senator.
And I guess what I would say is I appreciate the comments made by Lori Wimmer today, because I think we do need to make sure that we look at those kinds of things and make decisions that don't create other kinds of problems, unintended consequences. Those are important things. But I have found exactly what you found, even in communities where it's a lot farther to drive. Some people want an environment where there's more options. Other want exactly the opposite. They want their kid in a smaller environment where they feel more protected. And parents generally know their kids best. There's always exceptions to that. I've had some parents that didn't understand their children. But the vast part, the majority of people out there are doing the right things as parents and trying to find the place that works for the child that they know best. And I have not seen a mass exodus one way or another. Washington's been doing it for a long time. They haven't had a lot of problems. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be looking at it, be cognizant that there are opportunities, and then get involved with a group of parents and others to make sure that we come up with a plan that works well for everybody. And I think we can.
We're going to do
it. I've been trying to understand my kids next for 40 years.
Exactly. You weren't the one I was talking about.
Okay.
We don't need this thing. So is there any other discussion regarding the bill as amended? If not, is there any opposition to this bill? And do we have to? Yeah, we already did that. Okay.
Motion's on the table.
Okay. Any other opposition? Seeing none, the bill is passed. And with that, we'll close our work session on 1566. We'll open a...
That's on the carrier.
Please. Oh, that's right. I will carry this bill.
I thought you would.
What?
Did we assign a carrier for...
Why have a dream or we deal with masks?
We don't. It's going to Ways and Means.
Oh, that's right. I knew there was a reason. Thank you for keeping me honest on that one. With that, we're going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1542. And with that, we'll have a short explanation. Do you want to go out and talk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 1542 allows a school district board to enter into a written agreement with the governing body of a federally recognized Native American tribe to identify an acceptable use of name, symbol, or image of the mascot that represents or is associated with the Native American tribe, to identify behavior and exceptions of events, and to identify required training on cultural diversity. It declares an emergency effective on passage. There has been a number of similar bills in the past few sessions about this topic.
Okay. This is the issue.
So with that, we're going to have an opening statement by the author of the bill.
The author of the bill for several times now. And I guess first I want to thank the governor's office for their work on the issue with the state board. The necessity of this bill was due to the fact that the state board had made a ruling that made absolutely no sense to anybody. And basically it was an outright ban in the year 2017. The state board did modify their rule just a month ago. But I would suggest, Mr. Chair, if we hadn't had this bill here, that wouldn't have happened. It was kind of like they had a gun to their head, and actually the governor's office had to go to some extraordinary lengths to get the vote where the vote ended up. We have had discussions here as to whether we should go ahead and do the bill anyway, because I don't think the rule that was adopted went quite as far as this bill goes. Our ultimate goal here was to say that this was a local issue and it was an issue that should be resolved between the school district and the tribe, quite simply. And we aren't quite there. But out of respect for the governor's work on this, we are going to go with status quo at this point in time. But I do want to put on the record that we will be watching and to make sure that nothing untoward happens between now and next session. I did this, one of my two bills was this one because it was important and I think it was necessary to do it. But I would also suggest that in the 2017 session we can draft as many bills as we want. So we will be watching to make sure that it works the way it's supposed to. If it doesn't, we can definitely revisit the issue a year from now. So once again, I want to thank the governor's office for their work, and we'll just see how it plays out from here.
And with that, we have some guests with us, and so we'll start with the four. I think we have at least one against, so there are four of you. If you want to try to pull another chair up, we can have four people from the Sletz tribes. It looks like Gloria Engel, Ty Verlaut, I don't know. Thank you. And Dee Peaksley and Bud Lane. And I want to express as you're coming up, we could do it a different way if we want. Just three. Did you want to come up at all?
Okay.
Two and two. First group then. Whoever wants to come up first. I do want to express my sincere appreciation for the tribe being here. I see this as one government talking to another government, and for me the whole idea of sovereignty in the state is really, really important, and so having you here to give us input is really a sign of respect to us, and I hope that we can be as respectful to you, and I thank you for being here.
Mr. Chair, just one more thing, because I was at the government-to-government summit down at Seven Feathers a couple months ago, which was a wonderful event, and this was an issue that the tribes brought up that they wanted resolved. There was no question about that.
And at that, just a statement before that, I made a commitment, and I talked to some of the tribal people today, that I do want to have an opportunity to have the cluster around education come and make a presentation to this committee, because we need to have a better understanding of the work that's going on in the tribes with the governor. That's an executive branch to an executive branch kind of group, but giving input to us as a legislator, I think, would also be important. So we look forward to doing that. So with that, whoever wants to go first?
I'm appointed to go first, I guess. Good afternoon, Chair Roblin and members of the Senate Education Committee. We thank you for taking testimony on Senate Bill 1542 to allow for use of a native symbol or mascot upon agreement between an Oregon tribe governing body and a nearby school. My name is Bud Lane, and I'm vice chairman of the Confederate Tribes of Sletz Indians. I'm also a language teacher for the Sletz tribe, and I've taught for many years in the Sletz Valley School. In the mid-1980s, the Lincoln County School District closed the Sletz High School, and our students were shipped to Toledo High School. It's about 8 miles away. And then the middle school was taken, and those students were also shipped to Toledo. Neither the high school nor the middle school students received fair or equal treatment at their new schools. Their ability to participate in sports was diminished because of logistical barriers and to attending practices and game meets. And the issues directly related to their being Sletz community children and not Toledo children. Many mourn the loss of their Sletz warrior status and identity. Our dropout rate was horrendous. It climbed to over 50% during those years. And our students' school experience was often one of fair and unfair treatment. Along with that, our tribal community lost a core part of our identity and a unifying force among us. Both of my own children, like many others, had to leave Sletz and attend Toledo High School. Eventually, the Lincoln County School District decided to close the remaining Sletz school. They just announced at the end of the school year that they would not reopen in the fall. So the Sletz tribe had to hire a consultant to assist the Sletz community to hurriedly draft a charter and move the draft charter through the school district. We were successful in getting the Sletz Valley Charter School K through 8th grades open by that fall. We have, as a tribe and as a community and as a school, put up with many years of mistreatment and loss. Each time we have fought back to maintain our identity as Sletz warriors. Our people fought for years to stay in our homeland through the Rogue River Wars of the 1850s to the eventual treaty negotiations that resulted in the land cession of most of Western Oregon. Our Sletz Reservation was established in 1855 at the close of the Rogue River Wars with its headquarters in the Sletz Valley. This reservation was intended for all Western Oregon tribes to be confederated upon, subject to ratified treaty provisions which included providing schools for our people. Those schools operated as an agency boarding school from the 1860s until 1908, when the agency boarding school was discontinued. The U.S. surveyed the Sletz Agency School Farm, now the town of Sletz, and sold it instead of turning it over to the tribe. The old boarding school was maintained in the Sletz Reservation Day School until 1930. At that time, the day school was closed because so many non-Indians had moved on to the Sletz Reservation lands, which had been open to settlement, that a new public school was built and all Sletz member students could attend that school. As we all know, in 2012, the Board of Education adopted a total ban on any mascot name referencing Indians over our tribe's strong objections without any consultation with us. Their rule was not based on our reality at Sletz. We are proud to be called the Sletz Indian Warriors. The name reflects our heritage and our veterans' participation in both World Wars, the Korean conflict, the Vietnam War, Desert Storm, and the Iraq War. My own father, Alfred Lane Jr., who is now 90, is a veteran of World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War. He left the Sletz School at 17 years old to defend the Sletz Nation and the United States, just as many other Sletz Indians did at that time. Many others did not return, making the ultimate sacrifice for their tribe and for their country. From the days of the Rogue River Wars to this day, these are the warriors that we honor and we revere. It is with that same honor and reverence and respect that we call our Sletz warriors, our students, Sletz warriors at the Sletz Valley School. The tribal government understands that racism exists in many forms. However, the Board of Education's cookie-cutter approach to resolve this issue, where one size fits all, is not acceptable to us. The Sletz tribe believes in the sovereign right of every tribe to determine their own path according to their people's values in their own homeland. The new rule of the board is movement toward understanding the importance of the role of Oregon tribes in addressing public education and a respectful recounting of Oregon history. Again, however, it was adopted without any consultation, despite the urging of our tribes and this committee. A problem for our tribe is that the board does not understand the importance of our warriors to our tribe, yet it still would be able to approve or disapprove our tribe school agreement. Senate Bill 1542 does not allow for any use of a native mascot without the agreement of a nearby tribe. The bill is consonant with the established Oregon principle of government-to-government dialogue and cooperation set forth in Senate Bill 770 over a decade ago. We urge you to support Senate Bill 1542 for local control, cooperation, and give the bill a due pass recommendation. And I thank you for allowing me to appear here today and put forward my tribe's concerns and support for this bill. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have of me.
We'll let Dee go first, and then we'll open it up for both of you. All
right. Well, I, too, want to thank you for allowing us to be here and testify today and thank the governor's office for all the work that has got us here. Thank you, Senator Cruz, for hanging in there with this issue since 2012. We worked very hard to keep the warrior image in Siletz, and we feel that we have been ignored by the Department of Education.
Part of our rules. They make no sense, I'm sure, to your. We have to identify ourselves.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Dolores Pigsley, and I'm chairman of the Confederated Tribes of Siletz. But we've tried to get our concerns across. We've asked for meetings with the Board of Education. We've asked to be consulted with. And none of that ever happened until about a month ago. We finally got a meeting with one of the board members and tried to make him understand how important this issue was to us and to have an actual meeting with the board and that they hear us on what we wanted in the rules. This bill would have got us where we needed to go, but we understand and we know that the governor has worked diligently on this issue with her staff. We have concerns about whether or not the board will work with the tribe in the future when an image is presented under the rule. The board has the authority to reject that image, and they determine whether it's essential to us or whether it isn't. And if you don't meet all of the criteria, the agreement doesn't get approved. So we have some severe mistrust of what may happen, and we've been assured by both Senator Roblin and Cruz that somebody's going to be paying a lot of attention, and we hope that's true. And like I said, we have talked to anybody that will listen. We would answer any questions that there are. It's been a very frustrating issue for us. It's been with us for 4 years, and in the beginning it wasn't such a big issue, and it's rose to a top priority. We spent a lot of money, a lot of time, and there's a lot of other issues that are of great importance that we should be working on. And so I want to thank Senator Cruz and Senator Roblin for listening, hearing, and hopefully we will be able to go forward and have an agreement, and it will get approved, and things will work out for us. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions of this group? I guess I'll make a statement, a couple of them actually, for this, and then we'll do something at the end. But I really believe that the bill that we sent to the board to require them to set up rules for this was very specific when it comes to whether they don't really get a choice. If you have followed the procedures and taken into account those things and you present a plan, it says they shall approve. So it doesn't say they can't approve. It says they shall approve. So if the criteria are met in the list that we had, it is my understanding, and I will have a conversation with the board, that their approval is contingent on making sure that you have gone through the procedures that you're supposed to. And at the end of the day, they will approve it if you've done that. I will keep watching that as well, and I commit to you that we will be having conversations and seeing if we can get a true collaborative meeting between the board and our tribe. So,
but I have to remind you
I know Their rule doesn't say the same thing.
The rule had to be forced to
that's true.
Have a rule. And when they first voted on it, it would have been voted down.
Correct.
Had there not been a change after it was voted on. And so that's the frustration for us, is that it can change.
Well, the additional frustration, if I may, was the fact that the state board was ignoring state law right. with the rule they had. Right. I mean, pure and simple.
Yeah. Yes.
That was our frustration also. And, you know, we're in contact with tribes across the country. Oregon and its relationship with its tribal governments is the envy of the country. Many states don't have any relations with any of their tribes within their borders. And that consultation, that piece is an important one to us. And we've reached out. We invited the Board of Education to come to an event that Senator Roblin showed up and our Representative Gomberg also came to, a Veterans Assembly, to show how our young people revere and honor our veterans, our warriors. And nobody came. And we've asked for the consultation. It still has not materialized. And we're at a loss at how a state board can ignore the law and the consultation process. And we really think that if we could sit and talk and reason with them, we could have a different outcome. But that's not going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, anyway.
And it is my intention to make that happen. But it's also my intention to say it is clear that the tribes, and in particular the Tsleil-Waututh, have been very patient in this process. And I want to make sure that our legislative friends all know, in this side and the other, that we're giving them a chance to prove to us that they are willing to have this kind of conversations, and that I agree with Senator Cruz. It is because of the willingness for you to continue to reach out and work that I think that if they choose to do something different, a bill in the next session would be pretty clearly one that we could get our other members to agree with, because of all the things you've been willing to put up with to get to this point. So I thank you for that, too.
Yeah. The bill's already written, so we just put another date on it, and there you go.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
And Sherry Springer, representative, and then we'll have our other two. The other two board can come up if they would like and be seated already. There's three seats. If you want all four to come up, or all three of you can wait until this one's done.
Okay.
We'll put people on both sides of you.
Okay.
It's really nice. You'll be appreciative of that, knowing Sherry.
I am.
Yes, go ahead, Sherry. Thank you.
Thank you. For the record, I'm Sherry Springer, State Representative from House District 17. I represent 11 communities, 11 cities. One of those is Lebanon, home of the Lebanon Warriors, Lebanon High School. And thank you for this opportunity, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, to once again testify on this issue. I'm quite certain that I have testified more on this issue on the Senate side, the House side, talked on the floor, and to the State Board of Education more than I have any other issue since I've been in the building. That kind of makes me sad, frankly. So I want to speak in support of House Bill 1542 and just remind us of a couple things that have occurred. And certainly the people that testified before me have very aptly mentioned those. We've been doing this now 4 years. 4 years. And my concern when this occurred, the day we adjourned the special session, the annual session in 2012, and I went home at the end of the day and I was greeted with the headlines in the newspaper at my front door, and the five-year ban, and we started working on this. My concern, unfortunately, then has been proven, which was we're going to drag this out till 2017, and that's next year. That concerns me, especially when tribes weren't consulted. And I think this issue is, for me personally, and I know it isn't for everybody, but for me, this issue has moved so far past school mascots. This is way past school mascots. This is about not honoring the government-to-government relationship that this state has established with its tribes. This is about ignoring the tribes. And I'm not overstating that, ignoring them. And the other piece that I think is of utmost importance and far above this mascot issue
is the fact that we have spent the last 2 years negotiating with the State Board of Education as the lawmaking body in this state representing the people that elect us. And we are now negotiating with an appointed body by the executive branch. That should give us extreme rise for concern, because this has been negotiation. I mean, we can call anything we want, but I've had rules sent to me saying, well, we maybe can get them here. That wasn't what the law said. That is not what the law said. And I was in that work group. I showed up on the heels of pneumonia, and you showed up 3 weeks from hip surgery, from a hip replacement. It was that important to us. Granted, everybody stayed away from me for some reason. But it was that important, and we've worked that hard on it. And it has been a negotiation with the State Board of Education. That's very concerning. And I would remind us that these agreements, as the rule was very reluctantly voted on, the word approve is in there. That wasn't initially what it was supposed to be years ago. It was acknowledge the receipt. Mm-hmm. And now we're at approve again. And the fact that you just had the two people prior to me expressing great concern and mistrust, oh my gosh, me too. I would love to see this bill move forward. I would love to see this issue resolved. I would love us discussing things that I think are really, really super important. This is important too, but the discussion's been had. The law was made. We need to be talking about all of our kids' graduation rates, all of our kids' absenteeism rates. We need to be talking about our test scores. That is where the energy, I believe, of this committee and your counterpart, me on the House side, that's what we need to be discussing. So I certainly encourage this bill, and I hope that a strong message is delivered, and I hope that this body, the legislature, ceases to negotiate with the State Board of Education, and the State Board of Education begin upholding the laws that are passed by the body that's elected by the people. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Senator Bettsugar.
Representative Springer, just wanted to comment. I'm right there with you.
No, you're right up there.
Yeah. But on this issue, it is. It, you know, we have the separations of the different branches of government. We got it. We know what the rules are. They need to be followed. And you're right. You're right.
May I, Mr. Chair? I sat on a board one time, and I didn't like all the rules that we wrote, and I didn't agree with all the rules. But once a vote was taken,
that's right.
You move forward with the majority, and you implement them. Period. It really is that simple.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest it was the law was passed by the Legislative Assembly, but it was also signed by the governor.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
It took us a little
okay. So it was an actual law. It was in the books and everything. So.
Yes.
Yeah. We did this once when it didn't get signed by the governor, but it's been a long
time. Yeah, I had forgotten that. But thank you for bringing that up. It's the only bill he vetoed.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was really honored by that. So.
Yeah, that was a frustration, too. So. No more questions. Thank you. And I know you are in a committee, so you may want to zip back.
We've got some. Yes.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. And I'm Gloria Engel, and I'm a member of the Tribal Council for the Confederated Tribes of Siletz Indians. Thank you so very much on all the work that you've put through and put forth. I know that you have to feel just like I am, that I'm preaching to the choir, but it has been a long time coming. Now, a lot of other people have given some wonderful background on the Siletz people, how we came to be where we are now. We have one of our students here, in fact, to speak with you. And I think all of us came from schools that had symbols and mascots. And if I ask you, well, what was the mascot of the school that you were the principal at? You'd know in a heartbeat. Because You know, once a warrior, always a warrior. When I was sworn in on the council, I wore my Warrior High School Celeste ring because it meant such a deep commitment to me. Really, once a warrior, always a warrior. You've heard the history of it repeatedly. What I would like to speak to you about is that the government, a government, and its entities are trustees of Native American people's interest. That trusteeship involves the protection of Indian rights to sovereignty, to self-government, and the provision of services for survival and advancement. Now, we can agree that education is a road to advancement, whether the Board of Education agrees or not. So, you are our trustees, right? Well, you have to say yes, you are.
Yes.
Yes. Trustees act in the best interest of those they serve. They do that through consultation. They do not claim to know what is in the tribe's best interest. Consultation is not being asked or invited to comment as part of the general public. Tribal council members are also elected officials, and we realize that there are voices who want to be heard. And in hearing those voices on this issue, please remember that you are the trustees of the 9 recognized tribes of Oregon. I believe that House or Senate Bill 1542 would promote advancement for those whose trustees you are. And I have to thank you all for all the work that you have done. And I am supportive of House Bill 1542, and I believe it should be supported. Thank you.
Thank you. So thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you. This is my first time ever being in the state capitol, so I do apologize if I stutter. I'm a little nervous. I want to first say thank you for my own tribal council for allowing me to be here, and also all senators and chair for allowing to hear me today. I was asked to come here to speak.
And don't forget to identify yourself.
Oh, yes, sir. Real quick, I was only asked here to come to speak on behalf of the feelings towards how I feel and my community about the mascot issue. So, Shootwa Gi'am, Tayyata Swa'am Nashi. So, good afternoon. My name is Tai Relatis. I'm a tribal member of the Confederated Tribes of the Celeste Indians, and I'm indisputably thrilled to be here this afternoon and honored to speak on behalf of my community. I attend Celeste Valley Early College Academy. I'm a senior and have grown to become a speaker and a leader to others in my community. My goals are big compared to my accomplishments so far, yet working to make a change in my community for all Native kids and adults has been my biggest motivation. I'm aware of the issues of the Native American logo and the representation of how Native people feel on the sensitive topic, but hopefully today I can help strengthen the message that the warrior head isn't a bad representation. Most people lack the understanding that there is more behind the Native American logo. I've heard from people that don't like the logos. We are people, not logos. But have they ever looked under the carpet and found what the logo really stands for? In my school, we represent the warrior head. It lives in our school and in our hearts. And that's why I feel that I have a big goal to fill. I and my community are extremely proud of and love our warrior head. It is a living remembrance of what our people went through, how they dealt with the constant hurt and segregation from the human way of life, and that even through it all, our culture, our voices, and our people live. The Celeste tribe is made up of 27 tribes. That's 27 names, 27 groups of warriors. What is a warrior? In my biggest opinion, a warrior is a leader, a friend, a soldier, a fighter, a speaker, a scholar, and an athlete. The qualities that make up a warrior have an amazing effect on people, so much so that others will look to these qualities so they can find success. My community does not look at the warrior head as a logo. They look at it as a mentality. We are warriors. We went through relocation. We were moved onto reservations and had to deal with termination. We were segregated from being humans to be classified as animals, put into boarding schools and had our traditions changed. We will never hate the ones who put us through these times, more productively, we move on and focus to the future of our communities and keep our culture alive so that it may live through the young people. We need to love people as we would, as we should, as a warrior would. Our warrior head does not look back on our history. It also looks forward to the future where we will prove ourselves to be the kind of warrior we have become through our experiences, representing the very warriorhood that has become our logo, not only for our school, but for our very hearts. The youth of our tribe will become the leaders, the teachers, the movers, and the makers of our tribal future. It is a responsibility that we accept that the warriorhead is a constant representation of what our future can and will be. It is for these reasons I ask you strongly to be in favor of our continuing to use the warriorhead. I thank you for your time. We are grateful for you listening to us and all the patience that we have gone through and that you have gone through as well. We are grateful for what you are doing. Shawshinina, thank you.
Any questions? Outstanding job, by the way.
Thank you.
I do have one because it really shocked me when I came for the assembly at your school. So you have the logo and the head around the school, but on the gym floor, what do you have right now?
We have a big red dot. That doesn't show our warrior head at all.
And we have a school that doesn't have a lot of resources who had to refinish their floor, and this whole thing was happening, and they didn't know what they were going to do. And so they made that decision, which I find really sad. I'm telling you, it was part of the day that I was there that made me the most upset. And I talked with your principal, and he explained the reasons why it was doing it. And here was all this other stuff happening with the symbol available, because that was part of the whole assembly. But there in the floor in the gym we were sitting in, there was a big red dot. So thank you for
here. Thank you.
Any other questions or thoughts? Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
So we have Jennifer Walter. Yeah, we can call, and Cindy Hunt can come. We'll let Walter go first, and Cindy can be next.
Hey, Cindy. Good afternoon. My name is Jennifer Walter, and I am a resident of Lebanon, home of the Lebanon High School Warriors, and I taught in the school. Before that, I spent 20 years practicing law in Washington, D.C., and then I came back to my native state and became a public school teacher. Let me put a footnote in and say that the people up here, have put a lot of energy into trying to make our public schools as good as they can be. And I know that you have had an interest in making sure that the financing has been as robust as possible given the circumstances of our state's economy. I have watched this issue since 2006. And I did not become active on the issue until I retired from teaching school because I didn't think it was appropriate to do that when my students would be aware of my feelings. I didn't think that the Lebanon warrior image was of concern until I saw Chi Butler's PowerPoint and looked at the explanations that he gave for why the Indian mascots were offensive. And I became convinced by that. So, Senator Cruz, when you said no one, it made sense to no one. That's not true. It made sense to me, and there are other people in the state it made sense to. One of my concerns is that it's not even acceptable to express a view of concern about Native American mascots. And I've been subjected to threats of violence. I've been treated rudely. I've been sworn at in some ways that I actually had to go Google the terms because I didn't know what they were. So I think in our community, in our state, that we ought to be able to have conversations that are respectful and don't cause concern to people about expressing a contrary view. I am confused about the Siletz Indians and their concern about being able to maintain their mascot, because I have gone to every Board of Education meeting on this subject in 2015 and 2016, and I've never seen a version of the rule that would have blocked them from doing what they wanted to. And the concern I have with the rule as it's written is that it singles out a single race for different treatment under the law. And I believe that that's a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Amendment. So that concerns me. And it concerns me because it's taking a group that has been subjected to historical discrimination, which is awful. It's just terrible. And it's offensive to me that I didn't learn about it when I was a school, when I was in a student in school in Oregon. It's different in what the national organizations who have weighed in on this have either indicated that there should be a ban on all Native American mascots, or that the ban on, there should be a ban on all racial mascots, and only tribe-specific mascots should be used in public schools. And the Board of Education has put together a huge list of organizations that feel that way, and I think that's part of why it was such a difficult process to go through to get the rule approved. And having watched the individual members of the state board, you see them being reticent to do what you told them to do, and I think they see that it as a moral issue, and we're trying to figure out how to do what they were being asked to do and still be consistent with their own values. And that was a tough thing for them to do. So I'd like you to assume that the board was acting in good faith, and I'm happy to hear that you're not moving forward with this bill. Thank you.
Other questions? Yes.
Here's something you need to know. The work group had a very diverse mix in it, including those who objected. The law said that the work group will create an administrative rule and the board will adopt the rule. They don't have discretion. They are an appointed board, and they are serving at the pleasure of the governor, and the law they broke was one that was passed in this body and signed by the governor who appointed them. They violated what they were supposed to be doing, pure and simple.
Senator Roblin and Senator Cruz, I thought that I had read the law and that it said there were supposed to be rules adopted, mm-hmm. but I don't recall seeing in the law itself that there was supposed to be, that they were supposed to only implement the rules that were passed by the work group.
Yeah, that did say that.
And I guess what I would say is that my entire life has been devoted to education and trying to use education to make this a better place.
Right.
And I really saw that bill as an opportunity for our Board of Education to work with our tribes to come up with some things that led to a better education of everybody, so that we all understood the kinds of things, not burying a situation and just letting it go on, but actually surfacing real curriculum and education in these schools that want to use these mascots directly related to the people who lived in the land for 10,000 years before they got there, things that we haven't done for a long time. This bill gave that opportunity for the board to do, and I think all of the tribes would like to be a part of it. And so from my perspective, it's an education thing. And the reason that this bill, and we're not going to have a work session on it, is clearly because they took action. We asked. I pushed. I mean, I think what Representative Springer said is true. We negotiated with. But at the end of the day, they've made this decision, and I believe that I need to honor the governor and others who forced that situation to happen. And I need to watch them because we have to build trust back. Right now, I am very concerned that the lack of trust because of all the things we've seen is going to make it a problem in the future. And we may be back here with another bill. But we have to have a real consultation, a real understanding amongst people that we haven't had to this point. And I am frustrated by that to no end. I also believe that we are in a position to actually, this committee, the testimony you've heard, to get to the board so they really understand how deep this is and the lack of coming together and having consultation with the tribes, not involving them at all. I hope over time we can mend some of those fences because right now it's not in a good place.
And Senator Roblin, I know that the consultation that the tribes wanted and believe they deserved didn't happen, and that there was a high level of frustration. I didn't, as a private citizen, right. I tried to make contact with the Board of Education, and was not able to do that myself. And as much as I don't like that it had happened to me, it bothers me a great deal more that it didn't happen with the tribes. But the other fact is that there's another group who probably are too intimidated to even show up here today, and that is Native Americans who are Oregonians but not a member of a tribe. And there are quite a few of those people who think that these Native American mascots are disrespectful. And I think that the Siletz tribe and the Siletz school falls in a different category because they have a significant Native American population. And I would encourage you to continue to think about the rights of the people who don't belong to an Oregon tribe.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much. You can stay if you want. Cindy, thank you for a couple things today. One, you found some stuff that I needed to fix in my amendment, and with that,
thank you.
Chair
Roblin, members of the committee, my name is Cindy Hunt, the Government and Legal Affairs Manager for the Oregon Department of Education. The department is officially neutral on Senator Cruz's bill, and we have been neutral, I believe, on all the mascot bills. I am here today not to defend the actions of the State Board of Education or recite the rather tortured history that the rules went through. But I will confirm that relating to the rule work group, that we definitely appreciated the participation of Senator Cruz and Representative Springer because they were very ill at the time and recovering. So it was like the walking wounded. But we also appreciated the participation of members of the Siletz tribe, the Grand Ronde, some of which are here today, in fact, that participated in that process, and other stakeholders. The board did adopt the rule on January 21st, 2016. The rule very specifically used much of the work of the work group and went into a description of what these agreements are to look like. A couple of the things that haven't been mentioned here today that are different than Senator Cruz's bill before you is that were important to the board was that there's a direction to the districts that they must allow for a public hearing before they sign on to one of the agreements. And part of the reason was to give voice to some of the people that you heard from here today and just throughout the process. A couple of the other things that came up that was important, that there has to be a description of how American Indian, Alaska Native history and culture will be included in the curriculum of the districts with these Native American mascots, that the agreements are not to exceed 10 years. And the reason is that we see an evolution sometimes with the mascots, both from a tribal perspective and a district perspective. So it's important to kind of review these agreements. And then also copies of the district's harassment and bullying policies and their anti-discrimination policies was very important to highlight for group members because they saw some of the issues as being perhaps beyond athletics even. So those are some of the things that the board included in the rule. But the other thing I wanted to highlight specifically for you all an almost a dramatic reading, if you will, is that in the original Senate Bill 1509, adopted in 2014, which directed the board to adopt these rules by July 1, 2017, it specifically said that if one of the agreements that's put in front of the board meets all of the requirements of that bill and the rules adopted by the board, then it said that the board must approve. In the rules adopted by the board, it says the State Board of Ed shall approve, shall, not may, shall approve an agreement if the agreement meets the requirements of that Senate bill and the rule. We also, at the January meeting, supplied to the board a draft agreement that was sort of a work in progress between the Grand Ron and the Bank School Districts, an example of one of the agreements. None of the board members expressed concerns about that agreement. So while I have learned a long time ago never to promise what the actions of an elected or appointed body would be, I have a fair amount of confidence that as these agreements start to come in front of the board, they will approve them. To facilitate that process, what the department has done since the adoption of the rule is that we have sent out guidance documents to school districts specifically with Native American mascots that outline the requirements for the agreements. And also we have started facilitating the identification of tribes for the districts to work with. In the board's rule, it directs the district to work with the tribe in whose traditional area of interest the district is located. In all but one case, that's multiple tribes, actually, for each of the districts with mascots. So we've met with the Indian Commission to identify, you know, and start making those connections. Also, just to be clear, the districts and the tribes actually have until July 1, 2017 to enter into these agreements, and we've also been very clear about that. So that's why we believe we haven't seen an agreement, even though we anticipate at any moment there will be some, because we do know that some of the tribes have been active in this area. So with that, I am open to questions.
Senator Cruz.
Couple of things. Number one, it was the intention, because there are multiple tribes, our intention was that the tribes figure out who needs to, you know, who takes the lead in that, and hopefully that's what will happen, and because that's the area needs. The other thing on the education piece, it was our desire, not just for those schools with tribal mascots. We wanted to have a significant impact on the teaching of Oregon history to all schools, not just those specific schools. So, and you know that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Chair Roblin, Senator Cruz, you know, a couple of things that happened kind of outside of this is that we also had the adoption of the Native American Indian Education Plan during the same time period that was worked on through the government-to-government process, and it was also presented to the State Board of Ed, so that, you know, continues to be worked on. We also had the work relating to, and I'm sorry, I cannot remember the bill number off the top of my head, but it directed the department to put on its web page curriculum and educational materials on people who have been historically underrepresented. And we worked specifically with all nine tribes and reached out to them to have materials on our web page that talk about their histories. And any of, you know, Oregon's teachers can access that, or any member of the public for that matter.
Yeah. Cindy, I just wanted to make sure that we were clear that this wasn't a little thing we were wanting to do on the education piece. It was comprehensive. So. Mm-hmm.
And if you need some information, there's a small book that the Siletz tribe has about their history.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they could get you a copy. So yeah. I just want to point that out. It's actually pretty historically, you know, cited in the whole works.
Chair Roblin, I believe we have a link to it on our webpage.
I guess the other thing I want to say, I appreciate you, because I have read it the same way, that if they follow the rules and they follow the deals, that it will be a done. I will tell you, in having conversations with tribes, and in particular the Siletz, but with some others, the trust relationship with regard to, and the fact that at the bottom of the page, at the little print at the bottom, says that money can be taken away from your school if you don't follow the rules. That is a little word, and how many times has that been invoked?
Yeah, Chair Roblin, let me think. None.
That's what I thought. So I just want to make sure. I'm trying to make people feel a little more comfortable. But I'm just saying, when you have that kind of power over another government, it's really frustrating to see that kind of stuff, and especially on the history that you heard today. And I hope you can express to the board, if you have an opportunity, and I know that's not your job, the underlying feelings of this bill with respect to some of the people here in this room. You know, I'm one fully acknowledged that the use of mascots in this country over the last 100 years, I would not put that up as a standard for any kind of use in anything. And I don't know if there's anybody in any of the tribes that would. But we do need to recognize that we have a special relationship with our tribes. And in that relationship, we have a process that we should always adhere to. And I hope the board understands their relationship as an executive member. With all the things that are happening in the different clusters and the other kind of stuff with the state government, it's just shocking to me that this happened the way it did.
Yeah, Chair Roblin, I can share with you. I think some of the previous speakers talked about some of the meetings and so forth that transpired in January. We had the state board sent an invitation for consultation to all of the tribes. The Grand Ronde and the Tsleil-Waututh asked for that. Some individual board members met with those tribes, as did the governor's policy advisor, the deputy superintendent, myself, and other staff. The recordings of those meetings were supplied to all board members, and I can tell you that those meetings had a deep and meaningful impact on individual board members and the department staff.
Okay. Thank you for that. Any other questions, Cindy? Thank you very much, Cindy.
Thanks.
Is there anyone else who is just sitting out there wanting to come up and have a comment about this that hasn't spoken to us? So thank you very much. We'll close our public hearing. And I think, as you've gotten from the gist, that right now my feeling is, and I have felt this way a long time, I have a deep respect for the tribes in my district, and there are four of the federally recognized tribes in my district. I have a really deep feeling about treating people respectfully anyway. I think our governor has shown a respect to the tribes in ways that a lot of other people, I hope, would emulate. I think she's trying to get there. We gave her an opportunity to do this. She did come to the point where it is. So I am making, kind of the decision we're not going to move this bill today because I respect all of that. But clearly, the department needs to understand, and I hope that comes back, that this group, this committee, is committed to making sure that it's followed through and the things that are worked out, and that at some point real collaboration between, and collaboration is not being invited to a hearing, because I get frustrated with what some people think is collaboration. A real meaningful conversation needs to continue to take place with our tribes so that we can actually start having a real conversation in our state about the Native American presence for the last 10,000 years and their input into the things that we want to do today, because I think it only makes our state a richer and better place. So with that said, we are not going to have a work session, but we end our public hearing. And I thank you very much for being here. I appreciate the fact that your government has shown the respect to our organization to be here today and be a part of that. So thank you very much. And to your student, obviously you're doing a good job educating. He did an exceptional job. Yep. And we expect to see great things from him in the future. And as I say in my district, one thing about the tribes, I know they're going to be in my district next year. Some of the other people come and go. Some of the companies come and go. But my tribes stay right there. So I just appreciate that a lot. So thank you very much. Any other comments? No. So with that, I don't close it.
Yep.
Close it. So now we're going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill SJR 203. And with that, we'll have the person that cares about this more than he's put it in how many times?
I think only three or four.
Okay. So Senator Cruz.
Mr. Chair, thank you for at this point, continuing the discussion we've been having for a while.
Yeah.
On this issue. You will remember that during the last session, we had a rather expansive work group.
That's true.
And one of the products of that work group was the elimination of the Oregon Education Investment Board. And we also made a commitment at that time that we would work towards coming up with another administrative structure over the K-20 system. This is a skinnied down version of the bill I had, so it's getting to one point here. Several years ago, this legislature, in its infinite wisdom, decided that an elected superintendent wasn't the direction we should be going. And by the Constitution, the only option the legislature had was to make the governor the superintendent. And so that is what we did. It got a lot of us thinking about what the structure should look like if we're going to a true K-20 system, which we are, or P-20, however you want to phrase it. And so my thought was that if we created a board that with certified, qualified, smart people that understand education to kind of be the governing board of the education enterprise, it would make sense at that point in time to have that board hire the CEO of the enterprise. I go back a ways on this. Okay, my dad was on the state board for 10 years. Okay, at the time he was chairman of the state board, the superintendent was a gentleman several of you know by the name of Vern Duncan. Okay, and this has stuck with me for a long time now. My dad told Vern, he said, "Vern, I would like all your phone numbers so I can get a hold of you whenever I want to." And Vern's response to him was, "I'm not accountable to you." Okay, because he wasn't. Okay.
Bad response.
Okay. And, you know, all things being equal, but that has stuck with me. And I guess what I was looking at was, you know, a good corporate structure. You have a highly qualified board of directors and the CEO accountable to the board of directors. And so that's kind of the concept I'm going with, because it is a... it is an SJR, because quite simply, we have to go to the people and ask them if they want to make this change in the Constitution to allow the superintendent of public instruction to not be an elected position or be the governor, but be to be an employee of the board of directors of the enterprise. And I think that level of accountability and that structure has worked in several places in this country relatively well. So, Mr. Chair, I know we're not going anywhere with this other than a discussion. It is my hope that as we move towards the 2017 session, that we try to put some meat on these bones.
This is
so questions? I have one. The one, because of the conversation we had in the last bill, right now there is some accountability to the governor for that board. She could replace every one of them tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. They become elected officials in this bill.
No, they don't.
Oh, really? They're going to be appointed? I thought they were elected. That was the previous conversation.
No. All of the members of the board, and it's not clearly defined in this, but all the members of the board...
Because they don't want to be in the same situation.
No, my vision of the board was representatives kind of relatively spaced between K-12, community colleges, higher ed, kind of the whole matrix. But they would all be appointed by the governor, confirmed by the Senate. The difference in the way I was going about this was that the governor, let's say that we had six members representing K-12 on the board, okay? And I picked six basically...
Education.
Basically because I think in the next census, Oregon will pick up a sixth congressional district. So it would be like one member for each congressional district, appointed by the governor, but the pool the governor would have to select from would be put forward by the actual K-12 enterprise. So, you know, COSA, OSB, OEA, all of those people would get together, and they've done this before, and they would put forth some nominees that the governor could choose from. So there's direct accountability in that system.
Okay. Thank you.
It's relatively simple, isn't it?
With that, I've got Jennifer Walter who wants to speak. All right, yeah. Chuck, you want to come up? Sure. both of you can.
I gotta get going.
You giving up on this?
No, I gotta serve dinner. Yep.
We can start with Jennifer.
For the record, my name is Jennifer Walter. I'm a resident of Lebanon, Oregon. And I don't have a lot to say, but I've listened to quite a few hearings this session and a number of floor sessions. And what I've heard over and over again is about the purpose of the short session, and that the short session is supposed to be to deal with things that really needed to be tended to now. Mm-hmm. So I was surprised to see this resolution. And I guess the other thing as a citizen that I would say is the structure just got changed a few years ago. And so why would we be changing it again? And I understand there's some reasons for that. But what I would urge you to do is to make sure that you come up with a really well thought out structure so that we won't be doing this again in 5 years.
So I would tell you that from the very beginning of this introduction of this bill, Senator Cruz and I have been talking, and he's correct in that the conversation started the year before. Actually started larging that with him, but in our big group that took on OAIB, he made it clear this is something he wanted to work towards. With this bill, he was clear, we've had a conversation, that it wasn't to get done this session. There's a lot of stuff to fill out, but he wanted to make sure that we continue to have the conversation, because it stopped. If it goes away, then it comes back the next session, and people say, well, we haven't even talked about this. So, and I agree with that. So yeah.
There was no illusion that we were passing anything this session, but sometimes you have to put things on the table to talk about them. So that was basically it.
Question?
Okay, let's talk.
Okay. Comment from Senator Beyer.
Two things, Jennifer. One is, it's just a session. It doesn't matter. It's just a legislative session.
That's right.
Second point is, actually, we've changed the structure of education every year since 2012. And I don't think we're done.
I agree.
Well, eventually we might get it right. You never know.
I doubt it, but...
Thank you. Mr. Chair, my name is Chuck Bennett. I represent the Confederation of Oregon School Administrators, and just wanted to join Senator Cruz and obviously you, Mr. Chairman, in looking forward to a further discussion of the governance model for K-12 or K-20 or P-20, whatever the final breadth of the discussion is going to be. We found during the last session, during the interim, the Senate Bill 250, as I recall, Senate Bill 215, 15. I think I have the number right, work group was really productive. I think you would agree, Ms. Chair, that was for the size of it, for I'm sure the investment that so many of the organizations and groups and individuals involved have in current structures, past structures, future structures, dreamed for structures, and then just the infinite possibilities of ways to govern such an important system as for us, anyway, the K-12 system. It's really worth further discussion. I think this model is as good, if not better, than the OEIB model was, and that got no study, as far as I can tell. We just began to work with it. So I think
that's
this
true.
Really does give us an opportunity. I'm really glad the Senator has determined, and you have as well, Mr. Chairman, to keep this discussion going. We're not there yet. We have not found the right balance yet. We've not found the right description of leadership. We have not found, I don't believe, a way to describe the relationship between K-12 and our superintendent, the governor, given the various, whether it's a deputy superintendent of public instruction and a staff person who is the policy advisor to the governor on education and a chief education officer. In this case, we're very lucky. We have really great people in those two people in those three jobs, right, doing a really remarkable job. But it's clear we have some way to go in terms of the discussion of this thing. So really appreciate the chance
and,
to
And the governor
talk
does have
it.
In her sights the third person.
Well, she is the third. She's
no.
The
there's another. There's another person.
Oh, that's right. The fourth person.
Because she's,
and
she's
sure
talking about having
the
a school.
Of the, board, the chairman of the state board, and I do want to tell you that currently with the state board, groups like mine and others do have an opportunity to give input on who gets appointed. We do get an opportunity, and there is always. A superintendent that's serving either as an advisor to the state board, so we have a often non-voting but a presence. We currently have a member of the state board that's a retired superintendent, so from the perspective of COSA, they've been just real reasonable with us. I'm not sure others feel
good.
That way, but we're happy.
Senator Beyer.
You're being very polite, Chuck.
I'm trying really hard.
The savings of the system is the fact that actually all of the hard work gets done by the local school boards.
And ultimately.
And superintendents. And the good thing is to keep the state out of the way for the most part.
It would, I think after today's experience, it would again underscore that discussion that often, if left to their own devices, our local boards are absolute geniuses at getting this stuff resolved. And certainly our local administration and teachers do the actual job of educating kids. Not, it doesn't happen anywhere else but in
we
that
did
classroom.
I think I was the only Democrat. I don't know if I was the only one who voted against eliminating the state superintendent. And the reason being I did was is because you lose a lot when you don't have a leader who's elected. And as much as the governor, the past governor and the current governor, think that they support it, there's just too much on their plate for them to be a leader of education.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Senator. And you remind me that it. I know my organization is one of those that thought this was just a fabulous idea. We should have listened much more carefully to critics of this idea, I think. So there's lots of change possible here.
And that's one of the big
See,
things.
We do agree sometimes.
One of the big things is that we oftentimes do things because we get upset with the situation as it is, so we move forward to something else. And, you know, the problem with an elected school superintendent, in my opinion, over the years, is it becomes a political office.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a political office for the next goal. They should have looked pretty long. If you were trying to be governor, don't be superintendent of public instruction. It doesn't work very well. I haven't seen any, I don't think.
Okay, so we eliminated a political office and gave it to a political office.
Well, okay. at least it's...
I don't think we ever had a superintendent who became governor.
I don't think we have.
I don't think we have. We've had a couple that wanted to.
We had one who thought it was her right.
Mr. Chair, I will tell you, though, that one of the parts of the model that we've really thought has worked well is the deputy superintendent. The description of the deputy superintendent's qualifications really requires that person to be a professional in the education.
Yes, that was, yes. And that was
that
a big issue.
That has been a tremendous addition.
I would agree with that.
Through Rob Saxton and now Salam Noor, we've got really two outstanding people.
Right. Yep.
And the only problems have seemed to arise is that we continue to have at various times, sometimes, political interference into them doing a good job. And
really?
I know there's politics. Anyway, I appreciate you allowing me to testify.
Yeah, thank you, and I really appreciate that comment because I agree. That was probably the single most important thing for me was to have a professional in that job as the deputy superintendent. And I think all of us here probably agree with that.
Rob was good to work with, and Salam is too. So that's that part has worked well.
But anyway, we'll look forward. Hopefully, you'll reconstitute your group.
Okay, we'll figure that out.
That really was a great experience, and I think a really excellent the way it was handled. Really well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll do that.
Anyone else that is sitting out there that's been just chomping at the bit to get on the record?
I think they all want to leave the room.
Ozzy, are you?
Oh, Ozzy wants to take a shot.
I knew I could get it.
Never one to miss an opportunity. the voice of experience.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, but I just couldn't resist. The plan the senator has laid out, many of us fought for and argued for.
Oh, your name for the record. I know you haven't done that for a while.
I'm Ozzie Rose, and I represent the SD Association. But an appointed board hiring a top professional to run the department and give him the title of superintendent, let him run the department or her run the department, and then fire him if they don't do a good job. A whole bunch of us have cried for that for a long time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And hopefully we can get there.
Just any
a detail or two to work out.
Just a detail.
I think we kind of are halfway there now.
Any further discussion? Yes, we are. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill, Joint Resolution 203. And any conversation?
We're done with our section.
Yeah, we're done.
We will close our Senate Education Committee today. Thank you. The 10th. So we're close our Senate Education Committee today. Thank you. The 10th. So we're